jumping right back into our tile conversation with Joe Fortuna of Mexican Tile and Stone. And you had made the point, I had said grout comes later. The thin set is what adheres the tile to the floor. Talk about that proper application. And back up to the tool that I was trying to describe it. You picture a mason's trowel and it's got a very straight edge. A tileman's trowel, it looks
like... It's rectangular.
Mm-hmm.
And there's notches on two sides.
And those notches are for?
It's for when you comb the thin set to either the tile or the floor, and generally most people do it to the floor. As you push the tile down, it releases the air, and it allows the thin set to flatten out.
And when you say comb, it looks like a comb because of the lines. It looks
exactly
like you combed your, and you've got to do the floor and the tile.
It's recommended to do the floor, and then on a flat tile, you can use the flat side of the trowel and just call it prime the back of the tile. So you're putting a thin application on the tile. You've got the full combed application to the floor. And then you'll press the two together and push the tile into the bed of mortar on the floor. And that, as you press it down, you allow the air to escape and you compress the thin set, the bed of the thin set mortar.
Now, when you're doing a floor, you always start in the middle.
Well,
not always. Is that changed?
That's textbook. Yes, generally you'll start in the middle and work your way, but
that way when you get to the edges, what you cut on the left side of if you're doing a 12-inch tile, and you've got to cut to get to the edge of the wall, you've got 6 inches on this side and 6 inches on the right side, a full tile on this side and a half cut tile against the wall on the other side.
Absolutely. If you're limited to doing a bedroom or a bathroom, yes.
Okay.
If you're considering connecting this tile to a hallway or an entry or a foyer, generally, because bedrooms get furnished, we will let the foyer or the hallway be balanced, let that pattern roll into the bedroom, and then the bedroom, it is what it is.
It may be a little upside by the time the bed and the dresser and the...
Right.
Draperies and the closet doors.
Right.
You're never going to notice. Well, a tile installer will notice. Most customers aren't going to be sitting there. And even if you do notice, you're not going to think anything of it, probably.
Right. So generally, when somebody's doing a bigger area, consider all the areas first. Because if you're going to make the pattern roll into different rooms, consider your focal points first. But if you're doing the bathroom or the bedroom and that's it, and you have carpet in the other areas, start in the center.
Larry Hauptman, I'm sure you knew him from from the day.
He
took me to a meeting that was a joint meeting between the Ceramic Tile and Stone Association.
Right.
And a Concrete Association.
Those are always interesting meetings.
And the consensus of that one is that the tile guys were complaining because the post-tension in concrete, they say, makes it wavy. Have you noticed that at all?
It's true. It depends on the time of the year. It depends how fast the guy floats the floor.
Post-tension was new enough. They were still trying to say, no, that can't be.
So you do have the waves. The nice thing about post-tension is it's supposed to eliminate the cracks as opposed to a standard
slab on grade
or monopore or whatever. If you have the waves and you even out the waves. And generally, that Ardex feather finish that you mentioned earlier is great for filling in waves.
Okay.
It's a fast process. It's part of that prep we were talking about. And if you have a Saltillo tile that can absorb the wave because you're going to bury it in a half inch of thin set mortar, I wouldn't worry because Saltillo is an irregular tile. Not all corners are going to be the same flatness. But if you have a lot of plank floors today, you may want to consider filling in those waves first.
So we've got our comb down on the floor. We've got the thin set on the back of the tile. How do you keep those lines so perfect for your grout?
Most people use spacers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Little plastic
plastic crisscross. And they're great. But don't live and die by the spacers.
And when you are trying to push the air out on the comb, sometimes you can start perfectly on the spacer, and it's like you start pushing and it's kind of slid out, and then you try and slide it back to the right spot, and you're like, it's not level now, and you got to take it up and recomb it. You know,
yes.
This is This will happen the first 8 or 12 times tiles you try and set.
And that's why you don't want to put too much thin set first. And when you do the thin set, the reason why the trowel is the size it is, you have to have the right size trowel for the right size tile. So most ceramic, you're going to either use a quarter inch or a 3/8 for Saltillo, or bigger stone floors, you're into a half inch trowel. If you're setting pavers that are 3/4 inch thick or better, you're into a 3/4 inch trowel. So for most people, you're going to be using a quarter inch notch trowel. And that's why when you put it down, even comb. So every time you comb the floor, you want to be at the same angle. And then you smooth coat the back of the tile. At least you're consistent. And generally, people are going to put the tile down, several tiles down, then they'll put in their spacers. But my comment about not living and dying by the spacers, you should always have reference lines. So you want to snap a line north, south, east, west, at least every couple of 3 feet. And this way you're holding true, so you're not wandering off. And then you wind up with 1-inch cut on one side and a 6-inch cut on the other, and your lines are gradually going off kilter. So the combination of
spacers...
That's
when you blame the framer.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
It must have been the way they done this wall.
That's true. I hear that, believe it or not. So the combination of snapping lines, making some grids, and then using the spacers for the infill is a perfect combination.
Now, here's the hardest part for homeowners. You get done setting your tile, then you backfill your grout.
Right.
How long do you stay off the tile before you can use it again?
Well, there are products. If you're doing a small area and you're in a hurry, you can use a fast set. So if you have a 3x3 bathroom floor, a very small bathroom floor, you could set it in the morning, have lunch, and grout it in the afternoon. But that's not really sensible on a bedroom because the fast set's expensive. So if you use a standard thin set and you do your bedroom, you're going to spend a Saturday, maybe clean it up Friday night, and you start fresh on Saturday. You have to let it sit overnight, and you're grouting it on Sunday.
And then once it's grouted, I don't know if this has changed, but we were always told to keep off it 3 weeks before you seal the grout. Because the walking on it and you know that's just going to start building up everything on top of the grout, and the more that's built up on top and you seal it, the worse the seal is going to be. And you try and keep it like a sterile, dustproof environment for 3 weeks before you grout it, or I mean before you seal the grout, and then you can walk on it.
Well, good thing for technology. And yes, when I didn't have gray hair, that's the way we did it. So there are several different grouts on the open market now. There's standard grouts up to what they call power grouts. And each grout has a different function. But you can get grouts now that are stain resistant, mold resistant. You can get a grout sealer. Some companies claim that you can grout it within 24 to 72 hours. And as long as the grout is not mottled and the color looks correct, and you're buying a company's product that says, yes, you can use it in a certain time period, you got to read the label. Some are water-based products, some are solvents. It's okay to seal it in the time frame that the manufacturer recommends. Because after all, everything falls on manufacturer's specifications.
And that's what they are going to use if there's ever a issue where it's coming up before warranty.
Right. What did the manufacturer suggest? And that's usually where it always falls back on.
Proper prep, proper install, proper sealing. How long? I mean, obviously the number of people, the number of animals, the number of parties you have. But, I mean, can I expect a 15-year life out of a tile? Can I expect a 30-year life out of a tile? I've walked into some places, and it seems like the tile was as old as the home that was put there 100 years ago.
I've been in homes in Central Phoenix that have been tiled for 60 years. Amazing, some of them are still in perfect condition. It's all about the installer. It really does pay a professional. But a tile installed properly is going to last forever. It literally will. I have no doubt about that. Styles change, and that's why we replace tile.
I remember chipping hammering up a Sateel patio that was like 1,800 square feet
outside. Poor guy.
And you know what? You know what they put back on top of that?
What?
And this job, the tile itself was only about 18 years old. And they had us demo this entire 1,800 square foot Sateel tile, and they put back on top Sateel tile.
Different pattern?
They just wanted it, they wanted it new.
Good for you, right?
Come to think of it, that's been probably about 22 years now. I should go check in on them. Maybe it's time for an update.
If you seal interior floors, I've seen Sateel floors 50 years, as long as it's maintained properly. Same goes for the outside.
Oh, the Sateel my grandparents was in the 70s, and it's still all original, and it really does not date the home.
No, and believe it or not, patterns are coming back. There's different shapes, different sizes. In our Sateel line, we even have a wood plank lookalike. So the floor does change with times. The clay body is the same, but the patterns, the arrangements, it's all how you arrange it. If you have a great designer, it's a great product. It's a great product if you don't have a great designer. I'm kind of partial to it, but it's a great product for all different styles. It really is.
Now, up to this point, all we've been...
Is there a proper way to seal grout?
Yes.
I've done my floor. I've done it all by myself. Took about 6 weekends. I just took my time with it. But I picture myself on my knees with a bottle going down the grout lines like
right.
that. Okay. And I'm going, I don't know if this is proper or not.
It is.
Could you use a paintbrush?
Yes.
And brush it on, too?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
But then you got to do the wax on, wax off thing because you don't want to leave the sealer on the glaze of the tile. So as you brush it, you give the sealer an opportunity to soak into the grout 3-4 minutes. Then you just come back and you just kind of hand buff the area. And it's actually a better way to do it. Even with the sponge roller, it's okay because some people will just take a sponge mop to the whole floor. Mm. And then the floor gets tacky because they can't get the sealer, the residue, all off of the floor. So, yes, I think you're right.
And if you see my floors, you'll see the spots where I made mistakes.
And up to this point, all we've been talking about is on top of concrete. But you can put there's tile on countertops, and
right.
that's over a wood sub. Surface when we're doing it against the walls.
Right.
So we'll come back and talk about the application of getting tile off of concrete and onto other solid surfaces to finish up. Because, you know, a butcher block.
Right.
Makes a beautiful countertop.
It's a stable foundation.
A 3.5 sheets of OSB does not make a great finished product for a countertop.
No.
So we'll talk about how to dress it up with tile here at Rosie on the house.